On this podcast, we're talking about the Real World Radio Academy 30 Under 30 for 2021. We'll speak to the chair of judges and Sam Bailey from the Radio Academy first, and then we'll hear from some of the 30 themselves. Scarlett O'Malley, Nels Hilton, Rosina Bernard and Katie Johnston all on the way.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionic Studio, the smarter way to make radio.
Welcome to another Radio Today podcast. It's the third one in 3 weeks. It's becoming a bit of a habit, this. And Sam Bailey has been on two of them out of three, and he's back again. Hi, Sam.
Hi, Stuart.
I think there's a conspiracy going on here, but there we are. So Sam Bailey is with us. He's the Managing Director of the Radio Academy. Also with us, Steve Parkinson from Bauer, the Chair of Judges for this year's 30 Under 30. Hi, Steve.
Hello, everybody.
30 Under 30 back again this year. It's 10 years now since the first list came out, and another really high caliber of people on this list by the looks of it. Sam, remind us first what the 30 Under 30 is all about. Why do we do it?
Well, 30 Under 30 is our opportunity as an industry to come together and recognise the talent of the future, I suppose. The people that will be, you know, like Steve, running Bauer in the future, maybe, or running the BBC, or maybe running Radio Today. It's people with an exceptional talent and a proven trajectory in radio and audio. They're people that we think are the bright lights that, through their work, whether that's in BBC commercial or community radio, demonstrated that they've got passion, skill and an amazing understanding of the medium. So it's an opportunity every year to, frankly, sit back and kind of look at this incredible list and think, yeah, the future of our industry is in safe hands. And I think we all felt that watching the names be released on Wednesday and all the lovely comments that people were getting. And really great to just see such a huge amount of variety in the list as well.
And I think 200 plus people put themselves forward or were nominated, Steve. So a really high calibre for your judges to pick from.
Indeed. I've been the chair, I think, for about 9 years, I think, Sam. We worked out the other day. And so it's been really interesting over the years to see not just the quantity of people that want to take part, but also the quality and almost how things have changed over the years in terms of diversification of skills and the number of people this year that, you know, many more freelance or people working two or three jobs. You know, Nels Hilton, who's a great example, I think he's coming up later in the podcast, teasing ahead. He's a great example where, you know, certainly two or three years ago he was working at Absolute. Now he talks about working at TBI and Radio 1 and Radio 2. And so you can sense people are really focusing on, you know, potentially working two or three jobs as part of a kind of freelance portfolio, which I thought was really interesting. So for me, sort of 9 years in, we've had to really focus our many judges on trying to score as fairly as possible, because it's a very, very difficult process, I have to say, you know, deciding on who should be in the final 30. And Sam, in his new role at the Academy, has done a fantastic job of focusing down even more on what we're trying to score and building some score guidance around, you know, impact, whether people have made a significant difference to their audience or their colleagues or their community. Again, it doesn't have to be a big station or a big production company. It's about impact on wherever you're able to influence. And then the scale, have they done something really big or impressive, you know, in their particular role over the last 12 months? And then quality, you know, how has their work been of an industry leading standard? Are they raising the bar for everyone else? And I think that focus has really helped develop the pride that people have of being in the final 30.
Steve mentioned there, Sam, the mix of people who are already at national stations at such a young age or at a smaller station but showing some great work. You know, it's about getting that balance, isn't it? Because you can achieve great things by the time you're 30, but you've got to have some potential there as well to be on this list.
Yeah, absolutely. And it wouldn't be a great list if all we were saying is, you know, who's there are incredible people like Nels who have presented on Radio 1, but if we're looking for 30 people that have broadcast on a national network, it becomes quite a kind of boring list and quite a difficult list to pull together. Look, I mean, there's people looking at the list now, just picking out some more names. Nathan Spackman, who runs Bro Radio, a community radio station in South Wales. So, you know, very an established sort of pillar of the community radio community, but very, very focused on his local patch in South Wales as well. So, as Steve said, it's about impact within your sphere, if you like, which, you know, there are others in there that are working with podcasts, a relatively small podcast audience, but making incredible material and making a fantastic impact with their contributors, whether that's young people or diverse communities. So yeah, it's about having having had a really impressive few years in the industry and showing that you're on that trajectory, you're on that path. And when and really a lot of what we wrote in the judge's guidance was, you know, one of the phrases in there was, does this make you go wow? And you just kind of get this gut feeling when you're reading stuff, which you just go, blimey, they've done that. Even if you've never been to South Wales, even if you've never kind of hung out in that community, you can tell that Nathan's, for just to pick him as again, that you can tell that the work that he's done there has had a great impact on that community. So yeah, it's really nice to be able to kind of see the spread.
And Steve, you said you've been involved obviously quite a few years now. When people get on this list, how do you think it impacts their future career and what they choose to do and the contacts they have in the industry? It can be a game changer for some of them.
I think so. I think the passion and focus and commitment that they have in participating in submitting, you know, their entry anyway, I think then when you end up in the final 30, people have told us, certainly in the last few years, that they use it on their biogs and CV. It's a bit of a calling card, because I think many people in the industry now sort of take note that, oh right, okay, you've been an alumni of the 30. And I think people, it's just an extra attention bullet point often in a CV. So whether it's simple as that, or you know, whether they use it to network amongst other people in their class or in the history, you know, it's a good talking point as well. And I think those networks across the industry, it's another way of talking to people across the industry, whether that's through podcasting, radio stations, production and so on. So I think people do use it to help them through their next part of their career, which is fantastic to hear.
And for people considering applying next year, is it something that you've got to be quite self-confident about to do, to put yourself forward for something like this, Sam?
Yeah, well, so we accept entries from people putting themselves forward, but also you can nominate other people. So if there are incredible people in your team or in your organization that you would like to put forward for it, you can write it sort of on their behalf. That is perhaps a little bit easier to do, rather than, you know, we're all very generally very humble people, aren't we? And it can be challenging to kind of write, to sort of big yourself up in that way, but it really is necessary. And it's a bit like you spend all our lives talking about we did this and we all work as a team, but it's a bit like the job interview kind of mentality, that you have to start saying I instead of we, and we actually ask the judges to kind of make sure that there's evidence in the entries of individual action that this particular person took, because it's difficult to kind of identify an individual within a team sometimes. So yeah, you do have to be quite confident, you have to be quite clear about what you've accomplished and able to articulate it and provide evidence. So if there's stats that you can share, or if there's verbatims from kind of whether it's judges or management or people that have recognised you through the recent years in your career, that's always really helpful for the judges to see.
What confidence does this give you, Steve, in terms of the industry? You're obviously a senior figure at one of the big commercial radio groups. When you see these applicants and the quality of the work they're doing, the things they're getting involved with, you know, does that give you some confidence about the future of radio?
Oh, it really does. The passion and inspiration you get from all of the entries, really. And again, we always say we wish it could be 50 under 30, because there's so many great people in the industry. And actually, I think one of the things that's really brought it alive this year, and you know, well done to Sam for bringing this in with the Academy, and also for our multi-year sponsor and partner Real World, that must get a special mention, because Anthony Gay has been one of the backbone sponsors and supporters of the 30 under 30 as well. If you go to Twitter and, you know, listen to the reveal announcements that were made for each person, there's a 2-minute segment of each person, and brings alive alive their passion and their story. And what's really interesting is many of them talk about how they went to uni or to a college to learn psychology and languages and film, but actually it was radio and audio that pulled them into their career. So bringing that story alive is really inspirational. And other people like Brogan Hubber at Magic, she tells about her journey from Wales. And again, I think she studied psychology, I think, but her focus was radio and audio, and she worked hard and ended up at Magic. Charlotte Lynch as well, LBC, talks about going into a global Newcastle studio on a visit, read the news for fun, and Sam Thompson noticed her, and now she's at LBC in London as a journalist and broadcaster. So just hearing those stories come alive just give you great hope for the industry in the future.
And it really showcases the breadth of the industry as well, I think. You've got obviously people in production, you've got people in journalism, and you've got some presenters in there, but there's a couple of people that are in sales and are talking about the sponsorship and promotions they've organized and or the deals that they've made. You've got people in engineering that have set up incredible outside broadcasts during the pandemic. You've got people in digital and social media. So it sort of following on from the Radio Academy Festival theme of the talent that is what makes the radio industry and the audio industry what it is, it really showcases quite how many roles there are out there and how everybody's a vital part of making the radio and audio content get to the audiences.
And if you're still under 13, you've not been on this list yet, make sure you get yourself put forward for next year when it all opens up again. Sam and Steve, great to talk to you. We're going to hear from some of this year's 30 on the way here on the Radio Today programme.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of the Bionics Studio. Listening, watching, reacting to and learning from every spoken word, caller, tweet and SMS to unmix, unlock and understand your content. The Bionic Studio transforms everything about radio except the way you make it.
I'm delighted on the Radio Today programme this week to welcome some of the new inductees in the Radio Academy's 30 Under 30 list. Let's introduce you to them. First of all, Scarlett O'Malley, who's a presenter, producer and station manager at Why Now Radio. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. So congratulations, you're on the 30 Under 30 list. Tell us about you in a kind of, you know, quick summary of what you do and who you are.
So obviously, presenter, producer and station manager. I've been wanting to be on the 30 Under 30 list forever. It feels like forever anyways. It's been on my list of to-dos for at least 4 years now. And I started out on university radio, where a lot of people do. And now I currently present and produce at Foundation FM, for the Vinyl Factory, and of course at Why Now Station. So I'm just a radio obsessive, basically.
Welcome to the club. That's what we're here for. Let's bring in Nels Hilton, who is a freelance presenter and producer, TBI Media, Radio 1 and Radio 2. And people will know you from presenting the Radio 1 Rock Show last Christmas as well, Nels.
Hi, Stuart. Yeah, thank you for having me.
So tell us about your journey into radio and what you've been up to.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, over the last year, I've been very lucky to do some amazing things, including covering for Daniel P. Carter and Jack Saunders on the Radio 1 Rock Show and the Indie Show respectively, which has been phenomenal. I currently work on Claudia Winkleman's team as a part of BBC Radio 2, and I fill in the gaps with freelancing in between. I started the radio at the age of 14. I went down to Careers Expo with my sister, and I bumped into a lad who was about 16 years old, and he told me to come down to the Roundhouse to try out their radio drop-ins. And since then, I've never looked back. I started there, and then I went to university, started interning, and then I started freelancing. And yeah, the rest is history.
Wow. And we'll talk a bit more about the things that you're doing at Radio 1 and 2 and stuff in a minute. Talking of Radio 2, Rosina Bernard is here as well. Rosina's an assistant producer on the Zoe Ball Breakfast Show. Congratulations on being on the 30 Under 30, Rosina.
Thank you very much.
And you've been at Radio 2 a little while now, you know, in terms of starting a radio career and an internship at Radio 2 and then getting a gig. That's a good start, isn't it?
Indeed. I can't complain, honestly. So I started my internship just out of uni, actually, a few months after I left uni. I was working on the Steve Wright in the Afternoon Show, and they basically taught me everything I needed to know, gave me the best training and foundations, and taught me everything about radio, really. I'd done it before, but, you know, Radio 2 is the, you know, biggest music station in the UK, and so I was learning from Steve Wright, who's done it for years, and so they taught me literally everything. So yeah, worked my way up from there, and I started freelancing once my internship ended. Got to work on Ken Bruce, Chris Evans when he was there, and then I was offered a full permanent position when I applied for it after freelancing for over like 6-7 months. And yeah, then I went back to work with Steve. I went back to where it all started. And as an assistant producer, I was doing a bit more than I was doing as an intern. And then I was fortunate enough that they allowed me to sit in the big chair as a producer of Steve after about a year of doing APing for him. And yeah, after working with Steve for 2 years, June or July of this year, I moved to The Breakfast Show.
Wow. And our final one, I mean, there are 30 brilliant people on this list, but we're only talking to four today. Katie J, Katie Johnston from Capital Scotland. Again, you started as an intern, didn't you, well, as a student?
Well, I was going to say that, Stuart. My story is quite similar to Rosina's in the sense that I got an internship and never left. And, you know, I think it was a lovely way in. Basically, I applied for an internship on Capital Scotland Breakfast when I was just thinking about what to do with myself after doing a good degree in English literature at Glasgow Uni, so something quite different. And I applied for a postgrad in broadcast journalism and got an internship at Capital kind of all at once. And yeah, as I say, just kind of never left from that point on. Constantly made myself available, made sure that I was in the studio as much as possible, kind of honing my craft, and got, you know, weekend cover, overnight shifts, eventually a travel slot, and now Capital Scotland Drive Time.
Wow. Back to Scarlett then. In terms of your radio journey and what you've been doing, you've got a bit of a portfolio going on by the looks of your CV. You do all sorts of different things. How do you want your career to develop, do you think, in terms of, do you want to focus on one thing, or do you like this approach where you're doing tons of different things?
I do love a little bit of everything, because as they say, variety is the spice of life. Not to sound too cheesy. But next year I've been commissioned to produce a BBC 4 Radio 4 documentary, which I'm really looking forward to. Well, I've already kind of started in the research and the planning, so I'll be focusing a lot on that because it'll be due in June 2022. But I'm also going to look to start focusing on my presenting, because I previously presented podcasts and I produce podcasts, so I'm looking in the new year to get into presenting and producing even more content for myself.
And you said to us before that you know it's been your ambition to get on the 30 under 30 list. So, you know, why was it that you wanted to be on it? What do you think it gives you?
I really don't know. I think I'm just quite a competitive, ambitious person anyways. And I'm like, you know, I was a bit of a nerd at school and a bit of a teacher's pet. So for me, accolades have always been a big deal. But I think for me, it's just always been a sign that, you know, what I'm doing actually means something and it actually counts, because it's really what I'm ambitious and what I care about. So if someone else is being like, yeah, you've done great work, it kind of gives you, you know, a bit of a force in the right direction, like this is my path.
And Nels, in your 20s, to be producing this massive show on Radio 2 on a Saturday morning that you do, and being a presenter on Radio 1, there's some people would, you know, this is their dream, and you've done it within a few years. You're quite lucky there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I tell myself every day how blessed I am that this is my job and this is what I get to do for a living. If you told me 2 or 3 years ago that this is what I'd be doing, I would have been like, nah, you're crazy. So I've been very, very lucky, but I've been helped along the way by like a lot of great people. Even, you know, people in this call right now, like Rosina. When I first started at Radio 2, she was someone that really, you know, took me under her wing and helped me improve as a broadcaster tenfold. So yeah, I'm grateful for the people that have helped me get here.
In terms of your ambitions, you want a long career in radio. There are people coming into radio these days who's going, oh, I'll give it a little go and then I might go off and do something else. But you're quite driven that you want to be in radio for your whole career.
Absolutely. I feel like it's really become like my bread and butter. Like it's definitely like it's my first love in what I do. So like it will always be the central like pin in my career. And just I hope that, you know, I can have a long and prosperous career just like all my heroes, and hopefully, you know, help the next generation through as well. That'd be, yeah, it would be ideal.
And Rosina, I know, you know Scarlett was telling us this has been her kind of dream to get on, and she's been pushing to get on the 30 under 30. It came as a bit of a surprise to you, did it?
Indeed. I was not expecting it at all, because there are so many people doing such incredible things across the board in all the different stations. And so I did not expect to be picked. I just applied because I'd done quite a lot of things this year that I hadn't done before. And I produced a documentary and I'd never done anything like that before. I also got to produce Steve Wright's Sunday Love Songs, which is like one of my favorite shows on the network. And so I was like, okay, let me apply for it, with no idea that I'd actually get on it. So yeah, I was very speechless when I was told.
And in terms of where you work at Radio 2, obviously it's targeting people who are perhaps a little bit older than you. Does that make a difference? Do you bring something different to being kind of a young person working in that environment?
Yes. Yeah, you're completely right. It is a bit of a slightly older audience, but I think it works well that there's a lot of people in my office who are similar to age to me or just a little bit older. And I think it really works well, and it complements our staffing to have people of different ages, because yes, we can offer different things. Our passions are slightly different, or particularly music. You know, we just are able to offer insights into things that some of our employees might not have. Not saying that they're not aware of everything. I'm sure they are. But yeah. I do think that I do bring a different voice and sometimes different interests, like shows and films that I watch. I'm able to bring an insight to it. For example, I don't know if Steve will like me saying this, Love Island, for example. I was a fan of Love Island, and so I was able to bring a little insight of that into the Steve Wright Show and little things like that. So yes.
So does Steve, is Steve into Love Island now? Come on, let's in on the exclusive.
Well,
have you gotten hooked?
I haven't, no. And I don't blame him. I'm sure there's a lot more interesting shows on the list. Not that it's not interesting, but I'm sure there's better things that are more interesting to him. I'm sure yeah, this one's gonna go down well. But yeah, then other shows as well, I think, and books and things that I might be interested in. And it just adds to the show, just making it a great show, because everyone is bringing their different insight.
Katie at Capital Scotland, I know the pandemic has been a kind of a big thing for you in terms of what your show has done and how you've perhaps changed as a broadcaster, and you've been doing some political interviews loosely on Capital as well.
I mean, even saying it out loud, doesn't that just sound bizarre? Nicola Sturgeon, the First Minister on Capital. It was quite something. It was a first for the station, and one of those kind of bizarre and brilliant moments that, you know, I never expected to happen within my first year on Drive Time. But this, well, I don't know whether I'm unlucky, but I got the job and then the world shut down. So it was a really strange time for everybody. But this kind of year, well, 18 months or 2 years now, has been so surreal. Getting your dream job and then, you know, you don't see another person for months, and you're coming into a studio and you're talking to yourself for 3 hours and you're thinking, I really hope this is cutting through. I really hope that people are enjoying what I'm trying to do here. And, you know, as you say, we've had political interviews. We've had Jason Leach on, who is our clinical advisor, and we've had Nicola Sturgeon, and we're doing a lot of things focused with Young Scot to kind of get the voice of the youth in Scotland out there, and really kind of challenging what Capital does as a brand. And it's been such an honour to kind of be that voice for young people in Scotland and make sure that their concerns are heard and addressed by the people in power. But as I say, I never thought, you know, we had Nicola Sturgeon on, and then we had Lawrence Cheney from Drag Race in the same show. Do you know what I mean? Bizarre.
let's fade you all back up now, and this could get dangerous, but just chip in when you want. But I suppose I wanted to ask, you know, about the future of our industry and where you see it at the moment. And anybody pipe up, but, you know, what kind of state do you think the radio industry's in at the moment as young people working in it? And is there anything anybody would like to change about our industry?
I think it's crucial. I think it's been something that's got people have leaned on more than ever recently. And, you know, we see that from the interaction we get from callers and from our key demo, which is like 15 to 35, but especially like people in their early 20s getting in touch and really leaning on Capital as a station and radio as a whole as a kind of a pal to share what's been a really dark time with. I think it's proved how vital the industry is.
And coming into the industry, have any of you kind of found that it is what you expected or that isn't what you expected?
I just always like really, you know, was like clawing to get in. And then once you're here and people are like, yeah, it's all right. You're like, I wanted this for so long. You know, I've worked for free and I worked, I think everyone does in the radio industry. And then I, you know, interned and I worked at stations and I made my own podcast and I made my own audio just to get a look in. So I think I'm just surprised that a lot of people say that it wasn't, because this is my dream to work in radio and it's all I want to do. So it's nice to speak to other like-minded people in this chat, because it always surprised me how some people are just so like, yeah, it's just radio. And to me, it's this amazing world that I've been striving to get into for years.
And there are so many things to help you get a bit of a foot in the door these days, whether it's networking events or, you know, as you say, internships or the academies and things that the different radio groups and the BBC run. And Nels, you obviously came through the kind of Christmas schedule on Radio 1 idea last year. How was that for you?
Yeah, it was a very interesting process to go through, and obviously it was magical and it was so amazing, like a dream come true to do that. I'd say the main thing that I took away from it was that if you put your mind to it in life, whatever it is, you can absolutely do it and achieve it. Because one thing I'm really passionate about in radio is diversity, and I never saw people like me talking about the music that I liked. So to be, you know, one of the first people to really do that fills me with a lot of like joy, and it also makes me feel as if the tides are changing, and you know, there might be young kids growing up like me or that are just different and just like things a little bit differently, that will have the opportunity to see people that inspire them do the things that they also want to do and achieve.
And in terms of where you all want to go and how you see your careers panning out, you know, this is your moment really, because there are so many people across the industry who listen to this podcast. So is there a dream thing you want to do or something you want to work on, an idea that you've got? Now is your chance to tell us. Who wants to go first on that? Go, Scarlett.
I'm just going to butt in here because I've said this. I was actually a contestant on The Chase, and I told everyone at The Chase on national TV, I will have my own show on BBC Radio 6. I want a 6 music show. This is where I'm heading. I will end up there, so whoever's listening out there, just be warned, because I'm going to be hot on your tails. And I really want to make music documentaries, which is what I'm doing in the new year for the Radio 4 thing. So those are my two goals, which will happen because I've just put it out there into the radio world.
There we go. If Sam's listening, the head of 6 Music, listen out for Scarlett and look her up. There we go. We'll see if we can make that happen for you. Rosina, I mean, you're obviously at the biggest radio station in Europe already. Can it get any better for you? There's so many things you could do still.
I know. Well, the main goal is to become a producer, because I'm currently an AP on Zoe Ball Show. I have had the opportunity, got a little taster of being a producer, but I'd love to be a producer full time, and I'd also love to create shows with things that I'm passionate about. I'm really interested in offering, particularly at Radio 2, offering shows that appeal to our wider audience, our diverse audience, and so bringing in artists and doing specialist shows similar to my documentary on Amy Winehouse, just doing shows that highlight stories that might be not as well told or not as well explored.
Katie?
Oh my goodness, no pressure. I just want to continue to kind of do what we're doing, and get, now that the world's opening up and we're able to actually get out there and enjoy the station, just get out there and do more for Scotland and get, you know, regional voices kind of out there, and you know, continue to challenge what people expect from the brand. I mean, it's young people that listen to Capital, and it's young people that are directing the conversation and have done the entire time I've been here. So just following that voice and doing more to kind of reflect that, and hopefully pushing it towards even, you know, bigger platforms. So it's all really exciting.
And Nels, I can see you as, you know, director of radio at the BBC one day, maybe. Yeah, fancy that.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, I just want to go as far as I absolutely can in every, you know, aspect and remit of radio that I'm doing right now. I'd say my main goal for the time being is I'd really love to present my own Radio 1 show. Like, I've stayed up till stupid o'clock when I should have been sleeping for school, listening to the rock show with Daniel P. Carter. You know, there's so many times and so many hours I spent listening to that station. But then as well, you know, I've really enjoyed the shows that I'm working on at, like, you know, TBI Media and BBC Radio 2. So I just want to do as much as I can and do it to the absolute best of my ability and just hopefully be successful in it all.
You're all such a breath of fresh air from some of the old fuddy-duddies in the industry that I talk to usually. So it's great to kind of get an insight into where our industry is heading over the next 10, 15, 20 years. Congratulations to you all. Fantastic achievement to get on the 30 under 30 list, and let's hope this is the stepping stone for those dreams that you've still yet to achieve. Well done, everybody.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stuart.
Well done, guys.
Well done.
Well done to you too.
And you can see the full list of this year's Real World Radio Academy 30 under 30 at radiotoday.co.uk. And thanks again to our guests this week, Sam Bailey and Steve Parkinson, and our little mini panel of 30 under 30 winners, Scarlett O'Malley, Nels Hilton, Rosina Bernard and Katie Johnson. Look out for them in the future. We'll be back with another Radio Today podcast soon, maybe.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
Original music for this podcast was composed by Macasso.